Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Not a dot will pass from the law until all of it is accomplished. If you relax one of the least of his commandments, or teach others to do the same, you will be called least. Rather, you should do them, and you should teach them. Jesus repeats and upholds the old law with only one adjustment. Jesus is a very strict religionist. True religion does not bind us to a few casual rules or arbitrary beliefs or some daily to-do items. It goes much deeper. It goes as deep as our thoughts and our will. And it not only commands outward actions, but it also demands that the heart and the mind be subject to God's word. Jesus comes and he preaches the law with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is a power to convict, to accuse, and to expose the heart of man's false religions and false spiritualities. The law that Jesus preaches, then, in a word, is the very strictest. Now, those two words, strict and religion, have to be about the most unfashionable words possible today. We far prefer leniency, or words like calm down, relax. A good religion would be a flexible religion. That's how it should be, bending to all the circumstances that I have, bending to my will. And that's precisely what Jesus opposes today. Do not relax even the smallest of the commandments. Leniency is a way to change the laws so that they fit the lawbreaker, so that he isn't a lawbreaker anymore. Relaxing doesn't only mean a lawless rebellion or taking a casual attitude toward what God has said. The Pharisees and the scribes, for example, they put great thought and effort into being religious. But struggling with keeping God's laws, their true laws, they quickly substituted their own more keepable laws and religious practices in their place. And that's the problem. God's law is not about technicalities. It's not about hoop jumping. It is the expression of his good and his gracious will summed up in the word love, the action of love. And you cannot love God's name while you twist around his words. The apostle says, "Let God be true, and let every man, especially me, be a liar." As it is written in the psalm, that he may be justified when he speaks, and that he may prevail and win the victory when he judges. He, God, and his religion remain true. That's the case whether we believe it or not. But experience also even teaches us that leniency is not going to satisfy our consciences for very long. It cannot give you a real, lasting rest. A loophole might get someone off on a technicality, but it can't cleanse their heart of its guilt. In fact, it actually builds in resistance, like a misused drug. Resistance to true forgiveness. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The conscience that's caught in its own sinful opinion of the law falls into two traps when it hears this statement of Jesus. The first is pride. That is, when we hear the Lord's command and we delude ourselves to say, yes, I will. I will exceed that righteousness. I will enter the kingdom of heaven. Pride depends on technicality and leniency. That's why pride is always stepping on others to prop ourselves up. Jesus attacks our pride here when he bids us to seek our brothers out, the one who has something against us, and to be reconciled with them, as he does later in the chapter. Jesus destroys all pride when he announces just after this text that if we do not murder, we are still guilty against the commandment for every angry or hateful word and thought that we have. The other response is utter despair. This one makes more sense. If Jesus' words have done any good today, perhaps you also have been brought to the doorstep of despair a little bit. To be shown that your righteousness does not exceed, in fact, it doesn't even match that of scribes and Pharisees. Their pride was in strict adherence, but we can't even claim that kind of misplaced piety. But in the place of pride and despair, our true religion, the religion of Jesus Christ, puts repentance and faith in its place. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going to court with him, Jesus will say. If you are guilty, what good is it going to do you to be proud or arrogant or defiant? You'll only deceive yourself in the end. Despair is not without its usefulness, though. Our righteousness does not exceed, so we must learn to abandon it quickly. We must change, not God, not his commandments. And that means that we must realize there's no hope in us. And yet, even as our righteousness does not match or exceed, the strict preacher has come to fulfill his own strict demands. And that's why we call our salvation in Christ Jesus through what he has done in our place the gospel. We call it the good message, the very good report, because it is a solution that rescues us from the utter despair that makes perfect sense in the face of his commandments that cannot be kept by us and that are not kept by us. Faith justifies because faith clings to the righteousness that does exceed all of that incomplete, never kept righteousness that we heard about yesterday, even that of the scribes and the Pharisees. It clings to the one who does fulfill the law and the prophets. It clings to Jesus Christ. And thus our despair of ourselves is not that kind of life-ending despair. It is not a forever despair. It is not despair that is left alone to itself. There is hope only and entirely in him, on his terms, because his terms are mercy. Throw yourself on the mercy of Christ Jesus. That's Christianity. That's the 1-2 punch of the law and the gospel. That is true religion. We may prefer to bind ourselves to a belief and a practice that is our own, fully capable, and thus want a God that neither condemns nor rescues nor speaks probably at all, whether that's to command or to promise to us. But true religion, thank God, is not bound to our own righteousness, but is bound to his righteousness. To have his righteousness, both his active fulfilling of this law and his sufficient suffering of its unrelaxed demands, then imparted to us in his promise. And now, daily, just as we pray with the new powers of our hymn and the Holy Spirit's help, increasing also in us as we daily undergo his righteousness. As he drowns our pride with all of its sins, and he raises us to a newness of life lived in him. And such a life, I promise you, is never exactly going to be relaxed. We're always going to find ourselves being brought to his terms. But I promise you that it is a life, the only life, that really finds rest. Because it finds rest in his wounds. It finds rest in his exceeding righteousness alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.